Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. This is Doug Haslam from Voce Communications.
And Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable. We're here with Lauren Vargas, the Senior Community Manager from Radian 6. Hi, Lauren.
Hello.
Now, Radian 6, for those who don't know, is steeped in the social media monitoring space. And I know I'm oversimplifying things by saying that, but I just wanted to kind of set up where, you know, where you live and what industry you live in before we kind of delve into community. But I guess the first overall question then is, we talk to people about community in their industries, and you're in the social media industry, you're entrenched in it. Does that create any specific challenges to actually creating a community, because people you talk to probably already have their own ideas about what it should be, or is it easier?
I think it's easier. You're obviously going to, I mean, you already have the foundation for the conversation, you know, there. And so it's a matter of building off of those ideas and finding inspiration and fueling, taking those ideas and fueling your own conversations. So it's a great conversation starter for us because so many people are involved. But we don't typically, especially in the past, I would say 6 to 8 months, we've been going beyond just the social media bubble and looking more at vertical focused communities. So while we say, you know, Radian 6 doesn't have a internal community, so to speak, you know, not something that's defined or gated. So it's basically anybody with a need for a social media monitoring solution, a listening platform solution. So we're looking at all the different various verticals, you know, healthcare industry, travel and leisure, looking at how they're approaching social media. Because a lot of the social media conversations that we're familiar with are happening and started with the marketing and communications folks. So now we're seeing this new movement from people, you know, on the fringes that are coming in and recognizing the social media conversations and the need to be in social media. And so we're looking more at the vertical focused conversations and those communities and having that industry engagement there. So that's why we're expanding our community team so that we're not only capturing and participating in the conversations within that social media community, but those on the fringes in the vertical spaces.
So that's really interesting, Lauren. I just want to drill down a little bit on your kind of how you're defining community in that context. It sounds like the way you're talking about it, if you identify folks in specific verticals per se, they may not know one another. They may not be connected in what we consider a community, but you're kind of considering them part of, you know, for example, a healthcare community because they're both interested in the same topics.
Yes. So we look at, you know, our version of community is anybody that is a current customer, prospective customer, somebody that's, you know, influential in the space, anybody that has a point of need that we're interested in solving or has some type of direct connection with our, you know, platform solution, or those people that are talking about the need for the point of need. So it can be pretty immense. So filtering through those relevant conversations and connecting people with each other and with us is why we have such a, you know, a large community team and why we have somebody that's just dedicated to going through the different different streams of conversations that we monitor.
Yeah, and you're mentioning your large community team. On your site, you do list, there's probably 9 or 10 people there, going right up to the CMO, David Alston, which it seems like, well, for lack of a better phrase, you're almost making a show of the fact that your community involvement with your customers and your larger community starts from the top. And certainly we can speak to the fact that within the social media community, David is very visible and very present, as is Amber Naslund, who's a VP there, and you know, coming down to you, and then there's a bunch of other community representatives. So would you say this is a really a top-down thing, and you're really showing that commitment?
It really is. I mean, you know, we look at our C-level executives as being an extension of that support and community team. So it's really great that they're involved. People see that, you know, we truly care about their needs and want to solve their issues, challenges, and talk in the same conversations as them. Builds that trust and that credibility factor in a space where we don't have that gated type community.
So I'm really fascinated by this, and, you know, it's I don't want to dwell on it, but I'm really fascinated by that vision of what you see community. How do you reconcile the folks just that you identify as, you know, quote unquote community members are not necessarily connecting with one another? It's interesting to me that the need for a community platform per se really isn't necessary in the way you're describing community.
Not necessarily. It is something that we're looking at in the short-term future, though. So this isn't like, you know, we are looking at dedicated, you know, gated communities specifically for our users. But currently, the way we view it is, I look at all of our community managers, as the director of community, I look at all of us as being liaisons. And we're connecting them with each other and connecting them with our team. So not only do we, route all of these questions, concerns, conversations to the right people within our organization, but we connect them to each other. If people have questions about a social media monitoring platform, my team just doesn't jump into the conversation and say, oh, look at us, you know, we're awesome. We say, you know what, you might want to connect with this person because they've got a like need. They're in the same space as you. So we look at ourselves as, you know, connectors, those liaisons to foster that community connection, whereas before they might not have known each other, but through us, we can have that similar experience or that shared connection.
Mm, okay.
I'm not going to ask you how you monitor for the conversations about community and things that pertain to you and your customers, but what channels are your probably most effective for engaging with these folks?
So obviously Twitter is pretty huge for us as far as we see the majority of the conversations, the point of need, and the conversations that we monitor are happening, you know, on Twitter, or at least we start there. That's an entry point. But the meaty conversations, the ones where we have some really great dialogue and get feedback, is through the blogs. Blog posts are excellent for us and still contain that channel for a two-way dialogue and understanding how they're using us or what they think about us and circulating that feedback both internally and externally.
So one of the real challenges I think community managers face is trying to understand engagement, trying to understand the health of their community. So can you talk a little bit about how you think about community engagement or community health and maybe tips or tricks for community managers to create more engagement?
Tips and tricks to create more engagement really starts with content. That's one of the huge things that, in fact, we have something called the Community Health ROI, which maps out how we look at community engagement and how we measure ourselves and how our organization measures what we do. But content is one of the buckets that we measure, and it really does help fuel the conversation. So content comes in all different forms, right? We've got two different blogs that we have now that we try to post to every other day. We try to incorporate as many Twitter conversations, Quora threads, you name it. We try to take all of this feedback and find out what people are asking, what they're talking about, and write content around those conversations. What's their need? What's their solution? And it's not the Radian 6 show. It's more of a thought leadership trying to tackle these conversations in social media, in and around the industry that people are trying to solve. And how can we work together to, you know, come up with these solutions? So the more content that we create, the more conversations that we're fueling in all different spaces. And we find a different way to take that content that we create and put it out on not just our own outposts like, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera, but throughout other people's, you know, turfs and channels, so that we are really really encouraging that two-way feedback and that we are listening, because, you know, I would have to say that our content calendar for 2010, with the exception of maybe the first 2 months, was completely fueled by the community conversations, by what they were challenged by, what their issues were. So content is something that you have to keep on a regular, you know, basis. You have to have it, you know, frequently. You need to have a team that is not only skilled in engaging, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the different channels that there might be, you know, for your particular community or a gated community, but also have great writing skills and verbal skills to fuel this content, to fuel the conversations.
Hmm. You know, it's funny. A bunch of the folks that I talk with about community managers, community management, are challenged by the fact that it's one component of their job. And, you know, you're using a platform like Radiant 6 to kind of understand what people are talking about and then responding to that by creating content is obviously kind of the holy grail, but they're challenged by time. And I wonder, you know, do you have advice for them if they've got, you know, they've got 50% of a job, maybe best case scenario, to really focus on listening to and responding to conversations about their brand?
Sure. I can totally relate because before I went to Radiant 6, I was a community manager for a DoD branch, and that was a quarter of my job. Yet so much of my job relied on what I did in that space. It's about not biting off more than you can chew. You're not going to be able to participate in every single channel if you're only a team of one or, you know, maybe a team of two. You have to find out where the relevant conversations are and, you know, pick out, do you want to just answer questions? Do you want to answer negative commentary? How do you want to start, you know, engaging in the positive conversations and highlighting some of your best evangelists? It's a matter of prioritizing and tackling one thing at a time and then slowly integrating and moving that content creation, you know, up the ladder, your engagement and response time up the ladder. The one thing that I think you have to remain the same from, you know, just if it's quarter of your job, full-time job, to you have a team of seven like us, you have to make sure that you're measuring and you're looping in relevant feedback so you can continue to make the case to your organization, to your executives, speak the language of the executives so that you're given more freedom and ability to ramp up on the response and engagement and on that content creation. It's just a matter of, you know, parsing through the conversations and finding out what's relevant to you. Don't tackle more than you can handle. If, you know, dedicate certain times of the day to look at, you know, the different stream of data, build a routine. The more that you build a routine, the more that your community will understand that routine and adapt to it. You're setting the expectations. Granted, I understand that, you know, everybody says the community sets the expectations, but it really is a two-way street. The more that we put ourselves out there, we're modeling, you know, a certain behavior of how we want to be treated and how we know our community wants to be treated. So it's truly two-way.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the terms that's kind of floating around, and I imagine you have a position on this, is the position of influencer and how brands need to go out there and find their influencers. And I imagine they can use a platform like Radiant 6 to find those folks. What is your position, or what do you think about that? That recommendation that brands need to go out and find their influencers?
I think you do need to find your influencers, but there is no cookie cutter approach. To me, an influencer, somebody that may not necessarily belong directly to your community, but is a trusted advisor, is out there, you know, talking about your points of need, talking about your brand, whether it be positive or negative, these people are influencing outcomes, and those are the people that you have to identify. If they're influencing outcomes, not just, you know, a number, a person may have 15,000 followers and say something about your brand, and if nobody acts on it, that person's not an influencer. If somebody has 5 followers and somebody says something about your brand, your organization, whatever it may be, and all of those people act on it, that person is an influencer. You also have to take into account that social media can't be viewed in a silo. You truly have to integrate your social media conversations and data into your traditional metrics, because offline engagement is just as valuable as online engagement. And you have to be able to reconcile the two and truly find out whoever is influencing outcomes, those are the people that you need to spend your time on. And like I said, you don't want to necessarily put all of your eggs in one basket as far as people that are just talking positively about you, because what I've learned, especially working for the DoD, not everybody's going to be your fan. And if you can sway those people that have negative opinions, they will become your best ambassadors. Those are the people you need to latch on to. Those are the people you need to befriend. Those are the challenges you need to put on your priority list.
Mm. So I guess to define influencers, despite the tools, and I know the elephant in the room there is clout, and there are those and other tools we use to try to get an idea of who's got influence and trying to figure out if that's relevant or not. But I'm almost feeling from what you're saying that it's almost like that Supreme Court definition of obscenity that people like to bring up a lot is like, well, I know it when I'll see it. And it's almost like you see those outcomes and then you know who your influencers are. And yeah, we're still trying to find tools that help us to predefine who those people are going to be. But would you agree that it's almost as if the influencers, I guess, make themselves present when they start to have an effect? Or do you think we can find them beforehand?
I think it's a slow moving process. Well, not slow. It's like running a marathon. There are, you know, different levels of achievement, right? And you get to see the certain growth of that particular influencer. I think right off the bat, you could identify people that, you know, might have a huge following and might have the clout, so to speak, and might turn out to be an influencer. But you really have to start, you have to look at it from a trend. You know, you can't make these decisions based on anecdotal data. You have to be able to look at these conversations and how these people have had an effect over time and not make snap decisions based on, you know, who's an influencer one day may not be an influencer the next day. You really have to look at who's going to be with you for the long haul. You know, I think so much of our main issues when we talk about social media conversations, et cetera, is people are making snap judgments on short-term data and not looking as the community as being a long-term strategy and something that you want to foster and nurture. And identifying these people right off the bat is, you may get a good, you know, good list, but the potential for the longevity of those people might not be that accurate. You really have to look at this data over time and interact with them, see how they're interacting with others in your community before you make the call if they're an influence or not.
Yeah, one of the, I brought this up in a conversation actually at the Community Manager Appreciation Day in Boston. The problem I see with a lot of these clout and other tools that the companies are using to measure influence is they don't take into account how you grew your influence. You know, personally, I know I can say I started on Twitter probably 3+ years ago, and I've grown my list organically. But a lot of them don't take into account the fact that I have 5,000 followers that I've grown over 3 years, whereas there's other people out there that might have 20,000 followers that they've grown over 3 months. And the engagement within that is something they're having a hard time measuring. So,
oh, I agree.
All right. Well, Lauren Vargas, Senior Community Manager of Radian 6, thank you for joining us.
And tell the listeners how they can find you online. Mm-hmm.
Sure. You can either tweet me at Vargas L, V as in Victor, A-R-G-A-S-L, or at Radian 6. You can also find me at The Root Report or contributing on the Radian 6 blog.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable. To comment on what you've heard, email Doug at voceconnect.com or Jim at community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on our blog.